When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Come on! Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Doug Hurst. Doug, are you ready to do this?
I am indeed. I'm looking forward to a conversation. It'll be great.
Yeah, likewise. Doug is the chairman of Elevation Gold. He has served as an executive with three mining companies that have gone on to be acquired for over $2 billion. Again, excited to have you on. Doug, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Right. Well, so I'm a geologist by training, but I never got that professional designation. Because I jumped into the corporate and financial end fairly quick after school, so I sort of never really worked my way through to being a professional geologist. But my background is geology. I loved geography as a kid, and I was science oriented, but terrible at math. So geology was a wonderful blend of those kinds of things. And I got a very, very early introduction to the markets and how the stock market relates to the mining industry. The mining industry is fairly capital intensive, and so there was a direct relationship between the two industries. And so early days of my career, actually when I was even just in university, the first summer that I worked as a prospector / geologist, pounding on the rocks and flying around in helicopters and such, I worked with a guy named Don McKinnon. And Don McKinnon was the prospector who staked ground that a huge gold deposit in Northern Ontario was discovered. And that was called Hemlo. And Hemlo was a big discovery in the early 80s, right on the Trans-Canada Highway. And I started to understand the link between the market, which was providing capital for drilling, and how mining companies related. And so I got a really early start, and it was just fascinating to peer over the fence into the financial end of things. Yeah, and so that's sort of how I got my start. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. So how has it changed? Maybe it's totally different. Maybe it's still pretty similar to that experience.
Well, you know what? I mean, metaphorically, it hasn't changed at all. Right? It's the equivalent of a guy with a donkey and a pick breaking off rock and looking for gold, right? But what has changed is that the mode of transportation is a bit different. But that's kind of about it, right? It's a very pioneering type of industry. It's an industry that caters to those that are thinking out of the box. So as a really good example, this prospector that I worked with, Don McKinnon, he found gold in rocks right on the Trans-Canada Highway. So the Trans-Canada Highway is the equivalent of an interstate highway, right? And he was just, he did the dogged work of working his way along the highway, digging up sources of information and breaking rocks. And even though geologists might come in and go, well, these rocks aren't quite the right formation for gold, he didn't care. He just broke off the rock, and if he saw that there was gold there, then you know what? There's gold there. And so it was, so Don was a real out-of-the-box thinker. And I've sort of carried that forward in my career, where things that you know are wrong are probably correct, and you never know, right? So.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate that. And that was very, I don't think the term is serendipitous, very fortunate that Don was able to find the gold right there on the main thoroughfare, because I
No, it's
imagine
true.
that that's one of the biggest challenges to mining in remote areas like where he like Canada, where folks are looking for gold and other precious metals, is how do we actually get all the stuff there, and then how do we get the rocks where we need to actually get them?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, so I've been involved in three companies from the ground up. I've been a director of many companies over the years, but ones where I was directly involved was a company called International Royalty Corporation, and the second one was called New Market Gold, and the last one was called Northern Empire. And I'm involved with a couple of companies right now, but all, the common thread with those three companies was just finding assets that either the market had forgotten about or an idea that the market had forgotten about. And then, I'm not smarter than anybody else. I just happen to recognize that every now and then an idea rolls across your desk, and you look at it and you say, okay, that's the one, right? After having, so I don't know if you went to school after high school, but part of the process of that was throwing spaghetti against the wall, and you throw sp and when it sticks, it's done, right?
Yeah.
And so in my business career, I just threw a lot of spaghetti against the wall. And every now and then one would stick, and I would have to sit up and pay attention. But the other thing too that I had to overcome was an idea would roll across my desk, and I would look at it and say, well, oh, that doesn't make any sense, and I wouldn't give it its due, right? And it would roll off the end of my desk and never to be, brought back again. But every now and then an idea rolls across your desk, and you look at it and you go, oh, okay, something has changed. There's different data. So what is it about this thing that I would have ignored it previously, but now it's good? And so I think that that's probably one of my skills, is just being able to change my opinion based on data.
Which is certainly a sign of extreme intelligence and lots of wisdom.
Well,
So,
a hint of wisdom. There we go. I'll take
yeah, perfect.
that. Okay.
So in today's world, you're talking about the opportunities are looking for, it sort of struck me as value investing. If we're talking about the stock market, you look for companies that maybe are undervalued for some reason, but you can see that this is really, really valuable if there's just a couple of things that maybe are changed or fall into place. Is there more? You talked about money kind of to get started, because y'all need money to be able to explore and to drill. Is there more
Indeed.
money coming into the space now that prices are going up and we're seeing a greater need for precious metals?
Oh, well, so that's really interesting. I would say sort of. And I've been through several bull and bear markets over the years. So when I finished my career as a field geologist, I mean, I only was in it for a couple of years after school. I joined a brokerage firm as their mining analyst, just to kick around, just to bridge the financial and the technical world. And within 6 months of me being hired by that brokerage firm, the crash of 1987 came along. So that was a major reorientation of my value system, and it was just something that taught me, Like, you know, this is the world today. Something happens. Oh, it's a different world tomorrow, right? So when you look at the flow of capital in and out of the mining industry, we're sort of in a period where there is some money coming into the industry for very, very specific targets and for specific assets, but it's not a wholesale rush of money into the industry. Not yet, anyways. I mean, I think that there's an upward bias to the precious metals right now, and that will probably start to prompt more and more capital coming into the industry, but we're not quite there yet.
Do you think that that's going to happen?
I do. I do.
It's
I do indeed.
yeah, it strikes me that me just reading the tea leaves and seeing that we are in great need of all these metals to do green projects and to make phones and electric cars, that we need more metal, and it takes a long time to get these mines online, from my understanding. So
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, and so it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned that. You know, you have on one side the fact that carbon-based fuels, you know, should decrease, right? I mean, climate change is an issue that we can see going forward. But what's going to replace it? And there is some of a system that will generate enough energy to sort of replace it, but it's not.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You know, 100% of our fossil fuel use cannot be replaced by the renewable energy systems that we have in place now. And you're right. How do we get there? Well, we're going to need an awful lot more aluminum. We're going to need a lot more copper. We're going to need all these rare earths that create magnets for generating systems. We're probably going to need some nuclear along the way, so uranium. And gold, the industry that I'm most familiar with is something that we're going to need to create a base for our financial systems. And so these are all, and as you describe, it takes a long time to put a copper mine or a bauxite mine or an aluminum smelter or a copper smelter. It takes a long time to build these assets, and we just we haven't ignored, but the government incentives have not pushed the older industries towards creating new product for new worlds going forward. And I think we're probably 10 years behind on creating enough renewable energy infrastructures so that we can phase out fossil fuels.
it was fascinating, the speed at which we were able to create the vaccines. People said it'll take years and years and years, and we made them in a very, very short amount of time. If normally it would take 5 or 10 years to get a mining operation online, if you put enough money into it, could you speed that up?
See, money's not the issue, it's permitting. And so the vaccine's a wonderful case in point. Operation Warp Speed took a hot knife through butter on getting rid of red tape, right? And you could argue that maybe it was a little bit quick, but boy, did it ever generate results. And you know, so during the Second World War, Lord Beaverbrook in Britain, you know, ramped up Spitfire production because he cut red tape, kind of completely bypassed the whole thing and really ramped up production. And now, I mean, you know, it's difficult to argue that you should short circuit a permitting process to get a mine in production. It should be carefully considered, and there should be all sorts of things in place, but the process could be made quicker for sure.
Got it. Interesting. So your work with Elevation Gold. Tell us a little bit about what y'all are working on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so so Mike Allen is the president, and I'm the chairman of Elevation, and we work together with in a company called Northern Empire. In Northern Empire, we found an asset called the Sterling, which was in Nevada, and it was an asset that the market had really forgotten about, and we started kicking tires, looking around for other assets, and we found the Moss Mine. We were intrigued by the geology that the gold deposit at the Moss Mine is held in, and so we really started looking at it hard. And we realized that that the market sort of acknowledged that there was a mine there, but they weren't they didn't fully understand the potential of it. And so so we went into merger talks with Northern Vertex. It went on for a good 5 or 6 months, and then in February of last year we completed the merger. And we brought a different set of expertise to the table. So we have a lot of experience in capital markets, raising capital, understanding the capital markets. And so that was something that the Vertex guys didn't have as much of. We also brought a lot of technical expertise to the table. So Mike Allen, as the president, is a geologist, a registered professional geologist, and we also brought the VP of exploration for our company, a guy named Warwick Board. And Warwick has been able to bring all sorts of incredible talent to the table, figuring out the geology. Now we also brought some capital to the company. We did an original financing, which was part of the conditions of merger. So we brought capital, and we've also cleaned up the company. There was a convertible debt that was higher priced, so we got rid of that. We rolled the company back, so we fixed the share structure of the company. We rolled that back 6-for-1, and we've started to understand the mining operation, but way more importantly is to understand the geology and the mechanisms of how this gold occurs at the Moss Mine. And so we just saw this wonderful opportunity to bring an asset that had been dwelling in the shadows and to bring it into the light.
Nice. I appreciate that. And so what are the plans moving forward with the Moss Mine?
Yeah, so the Moss Mine is occurs in about 1.5 kilometers, and outside of that, there's another 6 or 7 kilometers of the Moss vein where the vein is sticking out of the ground, and it has gold values on it, and there have been no drill holes. So this is the easy opportunity for us is to start marching our drill rigs away from the open pit mine, to see if we can't expand the resources dramatically. And we think we can. The geology is quite permissive. There are values on, you know, as I say, the vein is kind of sticking out of the ground, and we've got gold values on surface, and there's no drilling. So that's something that we're going to fairly easily capitalize on, and that's something that we'd like to really start in earnest in the new year.
Nice. Well, that's certainly an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting. It's a great district, it's the same Nevada geology, but we've come over the state line in Arizona, which is part of the reason why it was unrecognized. You know, it's funny. You're in one paradigm and you step out of it and you go to another paradigm and they don't understand each other. So you step over the state line, the rocks are still there, but it's not Nevada. So people kind of shrug their shoulders, but definitely the geology is still there, and so is the gold.
Nice. Well, very exciting. I like it. And okay, so unique opportunities and challenges. Instead of dealing with the state of Nevada, you're also dealing with the state of Arizona. And while they may be very similar states, they could be totally opposite when it comes to what the regulations are and everything else.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Got it.
Yep.
I love it. Well, Doug, the people are ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I'd like to say hope is not a strategy. But I think that along those lines that in fact that it's all about the people, and you can have good management and good people, and if you have a good asset, then it all works. You can have great management and good people and a terrible asset, and they will understand that it's not worth spending money on, and they move on. And then you can take bad management and people that aren't so kind, and they can have a great asset, and they will screw it up. And so it really comes down to people. Can you get your ego and your hubris out of the way enough to say, okay, I don't have expertise there. I need to bring people in, and to be able to recognize that. And so that's a big, big part of what I see in the business going forward, working with the right people, making sure that they are empowered. And once you have them in place, is to make sure that they are supported and heard and understood.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Having the right people is key, and everything you just described makes all the sense in the world to me. And I also agree, Doug, that hope is absolutely not a strategy. So, well, Doug, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you and Elevation Gold?
Sure. It's Elevation Gold. AllOneWord.com. It's pretty easy. Yep.
Perfect. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Doug your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to ElevationGold.com and check out everything that they're working on and follow along with the progress of the Moss Mine here coming up in 2022. Thanks again, Doug.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for your time, George. It was a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, enjoyed it as well. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.